don't get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, the Notorious V.I.C., wrapping up another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are joined now by the third member of our team, the great Gerard Cherry. And Gerard, this was a very difficult loss. The Browns actually put 28 points on the scoreboard offensively. Brandon Weedham threw for 370 yards and three scores. Josh Gordon had a record-setting day with 261 yards and two touchdowns. And yet the Browns, even though they had the lead late, lost this football game. What's your just initial reaction to what happened?
Well, was not shocked because I said the Browns are going to lose this football game. And I go back to
we were all in agreement, yes.
2 weeks ago when the Browns lost to the Cincinnati Bengals, that spoke volumes to me in regards to where this team was mentally and what they were willing to do far as paying a price and doing what's necessary. Because when you have meaningful football in front of you and you drop the ball in the fashion in which they had done for the prior 2 weeks, and you saw what Jacksonville was doing coming off of a bye, being an 0-8 team and finding a way to win football games, told me to a large degree which team would probably stand a better chance to win this game. Now, to the Browns' credit, they went out there and they competed. Obviously, based on what we saw in the final score and tally of the game, they didn't get the job done. But here's the thing, guy. I know we want to sing the sad songs about, oh, my gosh, how could the team be here? This was also an evaluation period. We were pleasantly surprised early on. And, yes, this team has left a lot on the table in regards to what the win column should reveal right now. But here's what I'm going to say, and it's based off what I saw from Joe Hayden yesterday, not the particular play in which he got beat for the touchdown, but his reaction afterwards. In his reaction afterwards, that's what you want to have. You don't want the cursing and all that type of stuff taking place, obviously. But what you do want is it all getting to a point collectively where guys are flat out sick and tired and disgusted with losing. It has to hurt your being to lose. It has to be so disgusting of a feeling that you get annoyed by the thought of it. And once this locker room reaches that stage and that place where everyone, for the most part, and it will never be everyone because you're always going to have some guys that are just strictly there to collect a paycheck. But when you get it down to being 51 guys as opposed to 28 feel that they're disgusted by losing, you stand a chance. So this, even though it's a horrific loss and it may be a bottom for this team, hopefully what you could take from it is this. If that is the collective mindset of what Joe Hayden was feeling, that guys are disgusted by the losing, you stand a chance. Because that's the only way to turn losing around is to be disgusted by it.
So, and that's all well and good. But when you really break this game down, for all that Brandon Weeden did that was problematic and with the turnovers, he did play statistically. The numbers were his strongest, and he does deliver three touchdown passes, and he is the reason Josh Gordon, he mostly for the second week in a row, totally this game, but the one before it, has put together these two amazing games statistically and has allowed him to put his place up among the top receivers in the league. All of that said, the defense needed to stop a team from driving 80 yards at the end. They needed to stop Chad Henne. And I'm hearing just this sense of scheming maybe not being the best on the part of the Browns versus what the Jaguars did. What did your eyes tell you?
Well, my eyes told me that if the quarterback is getting rid of the ball quickly in the same fashion that Ben Roethlisberger did, you can have Ndamukong Suh would probably be the only person that can help you because it's going to have to be a straight-up up-the-middle rush from some guy of that caliber to get to the quarterback. He had the time. He had the right plays called. And when you're able to get balance, which they were able to achieve at some point with Maurice Jones-Drew and Jordan Tottman taking off 4 or 5 yards a carry, that sets you up to put a defense in a situation where you don't know whether you're coming or going. And we saw that take place, along with certain plays in which, based upon the way the rules are now, you're going to get away with anyway because you can't be that physical with wide receivers. So you have to take that into account as well. I'm not trying to give the defense a pass because I thought they put a valiant effort out there. Obviously, it was not enough. I agree with you in that regard, Vic. But there's sometimes certain things that you just can't take away because defensively, you're set up in a situation where by positioning, you're out of place, or simply having more people where you're not, you're going to get beat in that regard too. And you saw, unfortunately, a lot of that, and you say, well, how does Ray Horton combat that? And do you dial up a blitz? Well, if you dial up a blitz and you're already getting beat in zone situations and you have a rookie linebacker in there who you don't trust to go one-on-one with Mercedes Lewis, you're pigeonholed. And that's what it boils down to. So it's, in my opinion, deeper than just saying, okay, the guys just got beat. They got out-schemed, and that happens in football sometimes, and we need to accept that.
Gerard, given that, and I'll try to be quick, and we have a little bit of time here. Given that, do you play more press coverage when you know they're getting the ball out quicker so that at least you have an opportunity to be right there when the ball comes out or reroute and throw off their timing?
That's your best bet, is to go to press coverage and trust your cornerbacks and say, you know what, our guys manning up are better than your guys. And you're saying to yourself, if they do go four wideouts, who are we going to put out there? We're going to put Leon McFadden, or we're going to put one of our safeties out there to cover man up too. So that would be my solution. Go man up and see who's going to win that battle. And that's where you have to go, because if you stick in the zone, like I said, with the rules and where they are in place, if you have a quick release, you're going to beat a defense. It's that simple.
Yeah, this is a big zone blitz defense, as you know. But you're right. Maybe you've got to start making some adjustments there. Jerod, thank you. We are going to be hearing from you and everyone else in a matter of minutes with Bruce Hooley and Hooley and Jerod. That follows this show. We want to thank Doug Deacon and Tom Withers for being with us. Want to thank Joe Hayden and Jameer Howerton for taking us inside the locker room with them. Want to thank Jerod Cherry, of course, our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, Megan Rock for all her great work of tweeting during the show, and she's putting together the Browns Daily Wrap, which will be a highlight of this show that to be posted on clevelandbrowns.com in a little bit, a couple hours or so from now. For Nathan Zagura, Nate the Great, we'll work on the nickname, but I'm going in that direction because he is that. He is great. Nate the Great and Notorious Me. We will talk to you again tomorrow, and I'll be at Solon at the Liberty Ford dealership in Solon from 1 to 3 p.m. Be sure to stop by. Hanford Dixon will be there as well with me, so make sure you're coming out to that. On Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford. Congratulations, Josh Gordon. I know it doesn't mean much to him, and he said as much after, but pretty impressive back-to-back games. 200 yards.
Here we go. Oh, I can't.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.